In a recent phone conversation, it was a business phone conversation I had, and I was dealing with an agent, and I gave him my name, and I have a number, and he pulled it up on his system, and he brought it up, and he said, can you repeat for verification, your address? And I gave it to him, and he said, is this your address? And I said, I responded, yes. So we went ahead and finished our business, and the conversation finished, he said, the town your address is in has a bad reputation. And I said, I don't live in that town, but I have heard that it has a crime rate was high back in the day. I'm not sure. I don't live in there now, so I can't tell you. And we finished after some small talk, and after we hung up, I use that word hung up, but for you younger people, used to have telephones on the wall that we used to hang up the receiver, so you know what we're talking about. I was thinking how people categorize a place with bad people and good people, and they call that place bad. Because in that town there's good people, but they get mixed in with the bad, and they get thrown in the same bucket. And the same thing can happen with families, right? You have the father and the mother's good, and the sister and the brother's good, but the next one, he doesn't do so good either. He's in trouble all the time. So the family's known for the kid that's in trouble all the time, or the father or the mother, doesn't matter. But it's just one family member can ruin the whole family. The whole family gets thrown in the same bucket. The apostle Nathaniel, or better known as Bartholomew, was that person. The title of my sermonette is The Apostle with No Guile. In the Gospel of John, Nathanael is introduced as a friend of Philip from Bethsaida. And that conversation is in chapter 1 of John, verse 43, 44. You can start going over there because we're going to be in John 1. But however, Peter and Andrew were from Bethsaida also. Nathanael is usually identified as Bartholomew, and the reason why the apostle mentioned it's he's also mentioned in the Synoptic Gospels as well as in Acts. The reason why the identification of Bartholomew is being because Nathanael is broken down as Bartholomew, meaning Nathanael's son of Tolmei. Everybody heard of John's son and Robert's son, pretty much the same scenario. And Bartholomew, when you go to Synoptic Gospel, you always read his name along with Philip, because they were always together. When Jesus started recruiting disciples, the first disciples who followed Jesus are portrayed as reaching out for immediate family members. When they get excited, they go to their family members and say, and for us, it's been around the block a couple of times. We tell our family members that this and that, and they look at us like we're from Mars or something. Or they'll ask themselves, has he been taking his pills lately? No. But pretty much the same scenario when Jesus started calling his disciples. Follow me to John chapter 1, I'm pretty sure you're already there, in verse 45 through 46. This is out of the New Living Translation. It says here, Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. Okay, he's telling his friend, Philip is. His name is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth? Exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? That's a question mark. And Philip said, no, come see for yourself. Philip replied, Nazareth was considered bad because it was a fairly small settlement that was known as some kind of Judean affiliated center in Galilee. The people of Nazareth were not wealthy or well off, and the town was not a happening place. It was just there. It wasn't a tourist destination or for visitors, let's put it that way. Now Bartholomew, in his mind, without meeting Jesus, had already placed him in a box. He already put, he's Jesus, he's from there. Which was regarded as a bad. He prejudged him. Just with that statement alone. Let's read in John 1, verse 47. This is out of the King James Version. It says, Jesus... Now get a load of this. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed. Now let's stop there. He didn't just say an Israelite. He said an Israelite indeed. That's, giving him, in our modern language, giving him props. Well, I looked into that and found out that he, because the Pharisees were Israelites too. But this, Jesus broke it down and said, indeed, means he was honest and sincere and thoughtful. That's what he meant. And then he further accentuated it by saying, in whom is no guile. Okay. In the New King James, that's translated as without deceit. And the New Living Translation says of complete integrity. Now, integrity, you can break it down, a person with being humble, honest, and you can break all those virtues. That is a huge compliment from the creator of heaven and earth to a human, no less. If any one of us would be approaching Jesus, would he say that about us? Here is, put your name in there, a person with no guile. Now Nathanael was perplexed. A man he didn't know gave him a great compliment. But Nathanael didn't get it. It didn't come to him. In English, when someone doesn't understand something, it said he doesn't get it, right? In Spanish, the slang part, all I can come up with is no le cayó el 20. In other words, You didn't get it. And that's what's translated. Usually, when someone compliments someone, most people say, thank you, or returns a compliment. Instead, Nathanael responds in verse 48 through 51. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Because obviously the fig tree was out of sight for Jesus. And he said, You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? Question mark. And he further said, You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I'm pretty sure Jesus is referring to Genesis 28:12. You don't have to go that. Basically, I think it's Jacob's ladder, right? Follow me to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is out of the New King James. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So Jesus Christ knew Nathanael. That's why he said an Israelite indeed. And that's why he said a man of no guile. Because Jesus Christ knew Nathanael before they met. Just like he knows each one of us. He knows us in the womb. What kind of person each one of us are at. You can also find David's stating that in to God in Psalms 139, 13 through 18. I am not turning there. This further substantiates that Jesus claimed that Nathanael in chapter 147. Now, that substantiates his claim. Now, what is such a big thing about no guile anyway? The statement no guile means to be free of deceit. Free of being cunning, passive progressive, is that what they say they have now? Or being a hypocrite. You know, being all flowery and charismatic in front of an audience or in front of visitors, but in behind closed door and with whoever you're with, you're the exact opposite. Or dishonesty in thought or in deed. That's what a person with no guile means. So Jesus Christ knew Nathanael. It signifies purity and sincerity, indicating that those described as having no guile are free from deceitfulness in their speech and actions. Jesus Christ knew Nathanael. He had a foundation to work from to spread the gospel. He said, that's my man, and I know what to do with him. Nathanael's faith was constant, and after crucifixion of Jesus, he missioned in Jerusalem and later in Asia Minor and southern Russia, founding many churches. He is said to have suffered martyrdom in Russia. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.